And hello, everybody. Welcome to Front and Center, brought to you by Frontier Communications. I'm Dan Lovallo, and we're going to start our program off today talking about real estate, specifically commercial real estate. And joining us is John Famigletti, his managing partner at Drubner Commercial LLC. John, welcome to Front and Center.
Thanks, Dan. Pleasure to be on the program with you this morning.
Well, the pleasure is all ours. And I want to begin, John, by talking about Drubner in general terms. Describe to our audience where Drubner is based and give us an overview.
Sure. Drubner Commercial is located in Waterbury. We do commercial real estate, whether it's office, industrial, retail, or land, in primarily the Waterbury or in greater Waterbury area. But I also have listings in properties that I work on outside. I have some properties up in the Suffield area, and I have some properties in Manchester. So I am kind of diverse on whereabouts I go, whether they're retail properties or industrial or like. Our office handles the sale, leasing, and we also do tenant representation for different types of clients that might be looking to expand or come into our market.
So you cover the whole gamut, so to speak.
Well, we try to. We try to handle things that are in our field, whether it's a industrial property that needs to be sold or leased, or we try to work with a tenant that may be looking for a retail expansion in our market or in one of the outlying towns.
We'll get to the various aspects of commercial real estate in just a moment, John, but describe for our audience what the difference is between residential and commercial.
Okay. Commercial is typically a business, an industrial property, something that a business is going to be able to make money with. It also may include apartment buildings, which have multiple units above 4 or 10 units. It is a business property where either it's a store, a retail store, or it may be a office that carries on business for services or sells a product.
Now, there are various kinds of commercial real estate. Break that down.
Well, going back to the industrial, office, retail, each one of those has a particular use. Retail would be on one of your main roads, where an industrial might be an older industrial building located near a river, or it may be up in an industrial park or up by the airport. There's many different types of industrial, which can be anywhere from 2,000 square feet to 1 million square feet. We see a lot of the warehousing at being located around Bradley Airport these days. You just saw the construction of Amazon, FedEx. I believe there was an Aldi's and a couple other million square foot warehouses. And they want to be close to where there's a transportation, typically rail and highway transportation are big draws. Going to the retail, they're looking for traffic counts. They're looking for those intersections where there may be 20 to 30,000 cars per day going by. They're looking for the consumer. And, you know, those are broken into anywhere from a drugstore to a big box or to a mom-and-pop shopping plaza. So they all have different criteria that they look for. Offices, typically you'll find them in your downtown areas. They were the original downtowns many times, and then you have the suburban office projects now. And then, you know, we also do industrial land. There's some new expansions going on, especially around the airports. We have some of that in the Oxford area. We also see a lot of that development around Bradley, like I had mentioned.
Now, what's interesting is that a lot of these businesses, I would guess, have to do a market analysis before they decide to hang their shield someplace, right?
Well, a lot of times a company will come into the market and either they know the market because they're expanding or they're contracting a little bit, so they may know the market. But we also get a lot of calls outside of the area where they're looking to looking at Connecticut as an opportunity. And we will do a market analysis. We'll pull up properties that are available. We'll show them what was sold and what is currently available. And, you know, every business has a different need. They may be looking for high ceilings. They may be looking for a clean space that they can do some type of laboratory or research work. Or they may also be looking for that synergy. And, you know, we hear about GE moving up to Boston. Well, part of the reason they moved there was they wanted to get into that area where it was heavily concentrated in young adults looking for computer-type and internet-type businesses.
That's an interesting point, John. Do you get much of that in your area? Is there an effort, for example, to bring about a corridor similar to what they have in Boston?
Well, there's talk, and there's always been a movement of trying to connect the Danbury and the Valley as a single entity of economic development. And because of our areas are so small in the national forefront, they need to combine these areas to be able to get enough mass to be able to present it as a Silicon Valley or something like that. So there's always that connection of trying to bring the local cities in together and advertising them and marketing them as a unit. Because if you're looking to bring somebody in out of the Midwest, they're not going to specifically come for just one town. They're going to come for a region. So they look at that 91 corridor. They may look at the 84 Route 8 corridor. They may be looking at the Hartford-Springfield areas as a information corridor.
Talking with John Famigletti, managing partner at Drubner Commercial, based in Waterbury, here on Front and Center. My name is Dan Lovallo. John, describe some of the challenges that potential buyers of commercial real estate face in the area of, let's say, cleaning up property, brownfield remediation. Describe that.
Sure. Well, a lot of times when you're looking for a property, especially in a city where you want to get that heavy concentration of the workforce and transportation, whether it's rail or the highways, you're going to end up in an area that may have been reused or may have been used previously by an industrial use. And the way, before you can get any type of approvals and financing or anything else, you need to make sure that property is something that you can develop and have clean. So there's been a number of properties that have over the years been neglected because of just the amount of pollution that might have been on that site or the processes that were done previously. You take some of the industrial sites in the Waterbury area, since I know them the best, whether it's oils or hard metals and other things that were in the ground, sometimes the threshold of getting that cleaned to be able to present it and do a new site or new building on that can be hundreds of thousands of dollars. I know that they're working on a section called Freight Street in Waterbury, and they are going to be looking for some federal dollars to help bring that project to fruition. I know that the mall in Waterbury was another one of those heavy industrial sites where Scoville's used to be. So the environmental is always an issue when you're looking at a property. Residential, they don't deal with that issue because they don't test it. But a commercial site, if a bank is going to lend against it, they want to make sure that they are not taking on somebody else's responsibility in an environmental cleanup.
And I guess the state also has various programs which people can or businesses can apply to, right?
Most recently, the state has been doing a big brownfield push, and they're trying to get some of these sites that before were not economically feasible to put back on the tax rolls. And in fact, some of those sites had created blighted areas because when no one can unravel the environmental to put a new business, the businesses are forced to go into outlying towns, into other areas, whether it's for economic benefit or just because they can't find that space in the cities because it's no longer available.
I guess it's got to be challenging for you and for a Drubner Commercial because there's not much, as you like to say, virgin property around, correct?
Well, I'm not going to say it's challenging. It's just a part of the lay of the land that we need to look for what opportunities we can bring in, and we look for opportunities for bringing more people in to help our tax base.
And from that perspective, what is the market like? What's up, what's down in the area of commercial real estate at this juncture?
Well, there's bright spots in every market. You know, there's always people that are trying to expand. Most recently, we've seen some new auto parts stores coming into the market. We've seen some of the dollar stores expanding. On the other hand, you hear of other larger formats downsizing. Walmart is now getting rid of a couple of the larger stores. I guess their leases are probably up. There's opportunity where offices may be looking to downsize, or since our market has price-wise has gone down a little bit, there's opportunity for someone to either renegotiate or to find maybe a better location in the heart of a city or in a suburban office park.
And from that standpoint, you get an idea because obviously Drubner has some listings. Talk about some of the listings Drubner has.
Sure. I have a couple office buildings that I've been marketing. One in Cheshire that has some vacancy. The tenants had been in there for 15, 20 years, and they decided to move out. So that means brings an opportunity for some others to move in. I have a couple retail sites that are going to be I-84 is being widened now in Waterbury to three lanes, and with that, we're going to have some new exits and exit ramps, and that brings opportunity. There will be some new sites that come available that might be great for a restaurant or for other type of retail stores. I also have some land up in the Manchester area outside of the Buckland Hill Mall, and I have some other large tracts of land that used to be tobacco fields, and that up in the Bradley area that could fit a million square foot warehouse.
So location, depending on the type of commercial business, if you're like an Amazon or a FedEx warehouse, so to speak, you want to locate near a highway. That said, from the widening project in I-84, when it's completed, will that help the area? Talk about how it will benefit the area.
Well, I think that traffic is always a concern. People, for the last few years, knew that the highway expansion was going to happen, and they'd be talking about not wanting to go to the east side of town. But if you're already on the west side of town, you may not have had that issue because Route 8, north and south, doesn't have typical traffic jams. I think that on a whole, that Connecticut has been behind on their transportation. The most recent proposals that the governor has would definitely help get rid of some of that cul-de-sac thoughts with our transportation. One of the problems we do have, though, is that there's not a lot of level land. So we've been seeing a lot more development in the valley towns, Wallingford, I-91 corridor, and then up and around the Hartford because they've been tying the Springfield-Hartford market. I imagine that there are going to be more opportunities because more people will look once the road is widened, and that will definitely increase the visibility of Waterbury's market again.
Talking with John Famigletti on Front and Center. He is managing partner at Drubner Commercial, LLC. John, explain to our audience, because there is a process, how you started out in a career in real estate and ended up being a managing partner. And for that matter, even define what is a managing partner.
Okay. Several years back, I had worked in a franchise-type publication called the Business Locator, and I had worked with businesses and real estate companies advertising their businesses in a publication prior to the internet. I did that for about a year and a half, and after that, I ended up becoming a real estate broker. And over several years, I did some tenant rep work for a couple of other firms where we worked with Advanced Auto and others, bringing tenants into new markets. And so I was able to learn the retail section of the business. I was a Waterbury native, and because of that, I knew that the factories, old roads, and I knew many of the people who were in the business, so it was a pretty easy fit for me to switch over to the commercial real estate. As managing member, I have a partner, Dave Thoreau, and we work on properties in the general area, whether it's retail, maybe it's a redevelopment of a property, maybe it's a releasing or bringing tenants in. So we do pretty much office, industrial, retail, and land in our market. And because I do attend a lot of the ICSC, which is the International Shopping Center Conventions, I see all of the retailers, their brokers, and I have a good handle on what new businesses are coming in, and you try to line up sites with tenants.
What is that like, by the way? You see, when it comes to shopping centers, a different approach depending on the period of time. At one period, it was shopping malls were big. Then we see, for example, these mini downtowns that are built, shopping districts like what we saw developed in the shops at Canton. What's it like now? Does it depend on the area, or is there just something that's real hot right now as far as a concept is concerned?
Well, I think over the course of the last several years, when the economy dipped a little bit, you did see some of the mall tenants and others struggling, whether it was internet sales and the changing of the consumer habits to now you see a lot of lifestyle centers, the Blueback Squares, the Evergreen Walks, and others where they're bringing outlet malls in. They're combining what we used to have in the downtowns previously, upstairs apartments with downstairs business or service type industries. Those seem to be the newer reurbanization of America. I know that we're talking about trying to do some more of that in downtown Waterbury, where they're talking about bringing some more college students in and more market rate apartments in some of the vacant storefronts. So you see a little bit of both. The malls, I'm sure, have, there's an A mall, there's B malls. There's certain ones that are thriving, and there's others that are, taken back a little bit. There's always the problems with some of the bigger retailers, the Sears, the Macy's, and others not meeting their quotas. So it's a combination. You do see a lot of expansion of some of the dollar stores. They're now competing in Walmart, I thought was going to try to get into the market with their smaller format because they see opportunity in each area trying to catch that consumer.
You know, it really is an interesting field, an interesting career, but part of your career includes the ability to do a lot of networking. Talk about that.
Well, part of my business, since I'm dealing with tenants in downtown areas, I've been on Main Street Waterbury for the last 11 years, and it's a tough haul. You know, these cities in its day, it was a central meeting place, and we didn't have all the suburban markets. Well, all that has changed. So now we try to reinvent the downtown. Luckily, Waterbury does have the UConn campus, which is now expanding across the street with some more classrooms, and they're going to have Starbucks on the main level. There was a meeting the other day where they're talking about maybe bringing 30 to 70 apartments for students downtown. All those things help bring people back, and perception becomes reality. If you can get a West Hartford-type downtown or the Blueback Square or Evergreen Walk where people are comfortable in going back downtown and become meeting places, it's good for the downtown. It's good for all the residents and the store owners. So it's a chicken and an egg. How do you get the people down there if there's nothing to do? How do you get the stores down there if there's no people? And so it's a constant battle between finding that perfect mix. I'm also very involved with the Waterbury Chamber. I'm on the Public Policy Committee, which is a committee where we look at a lot of the things that are happening up in Hartford and locally, and we just try to keep an eye on what is business-friendly and how that may affect clients and business marketing and our cities. So it's interesting that you can be on a lot of committees and be part of the project or part of the marketplace.
What's the overview from a business perspective, even from a real estate perspective, as to what's happening in Hartford as far as our state capital, potential laws? Talk about that.
Well, every law that's passed has some type of it definitely changes. So when you hear of laws where they may be a great law, but it affects a business. And sometimes that signal that is sent out outside of our area is, do you want to come to Connecticut with some of these laws being, what are they going to come up with next? So it's always a challenge. I'd like to see a much more efficiently run state where we could be more, we have high energy costs, we have high cost of living, and a lot of that is just because of where we are, and I understand that. But unfortunately, we do get a lot of negative feedback, and that doesn't help us.
Every law has a consequence, essentially, is what you're saying.
By all means.
From a perspective of GE picking up and moving its headquarters to Boston, Massachusetts from Connecticut, did you get any pushback from that as far as potential clients?
Not really. I think it's just an overall opinion that people are feeling less sure about expanding in Connecticut when you see some of the major corporations. But I think that was more of a business decision and not really a tax issue, even though that they tried to make it a tax issue. I think that Boston had a lot more to offer to them. And, I mean, I think the Stanford market is probably just as vibrant. It may not be marketed as well. And I guess they probably knew 6 years ago that they were going to move, so they had to come up with a good reason for themselves. I'm sure that someone else will take that place, and we will move on. But it always hurts when you hear something like that happens.
You know, this concept, and we're hearing more and more about regionalization from a government perspective, municipal governments regionalizing to save taxpayers' money. But this concept from a business perspective of more regionalization, let's say, between the Waterbury-Danbury markets, that's an interesting one, John. Talk about that.
Well, I think regionalization is always something we need to look at. When you have 169 towns with duplication in services, it drives the cost up. And, you know, the cities themselves are competing with the outlying towns on economic development. And when you can try to combine the Danbury market with the Shelton market and the Waterbury market, now you look at it as a region. There's a lot more drawing power to bring high-tech industry in. It's no longer just based upon the demographics of one or two of the towns. So I think that when you're looking at that, we're out there marketing it as a region. We're trying to bring in companies that maybe, you know, one of the outlying towns will bring in, and it helps the whole group because they're going to be shopping in our networks. They're going to be using services from our local providers. So I think that the regionalization is something that, you know, definitely needs to continue if we want to compete with other states that are working through a county government.
Maybe it could be the triangle area, similar to what they have in North Carolina.
Well, over time, hopefully we are.
John, before we wrap up our interview, anything else you'd like to add?
Dan, I do thank you. I want to thank my friend Rick Sennett also of Sennett Travel for helping me with this interview. And I think I'm pretty much speechless at this time.
Well, you've done a great job, and I can't thank you enough. John Famigletti, managing partner of Drubner Commercial, has been our guest here on Front and Center. And John, thanks very much for joining us.
Dan, thank you.